This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
If you wrap foil around that, just like the little bit of the base part of the banana where the fruit is, wrap foil around that top and they will last longer.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Who needs your bananas to last longer, though?
Look, I don't want to go to the store every other day for bananas.
They're 8 cents each.
What the hell are you talking about? What is going on?
You're going to wrap them in foil?
They're better when they're just a little green. Yeah.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Too much work.
Not that much trouble, Rich.
Too much work.
Says the guy that's got a spreadsheet with 3,000 fantasy teams.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I thought of you and this yesterday. I often do.
The banana thing?
I was buying corn.
Okay.
And my wife wrote on the
same
shopping list.
Well, it depends.
Good point.
Once it's peeled.
Good point. My wife put on the shopping list 3 ears. I bought 4. There are 4 people living in our house.
Mm-hmm.
They're 50 cents each.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw another one on the pile.
She thought 3 cut in half would be enough.
I don't know. We don't talk anymore. I don't know. But I just went, I added the 50 cents of corn.
Mm. All
right. Dan Leberfeld, this is always so fun, so much fun with Dan. I feel like Dan might be a little bit sort of, you know, conflicted or whatever when it comes to tweeting about being on with us. Like, he does it. I'm grateful for that. Here it is. We'll be on with Mike and the Bulldog on the great WGR 550 in Buffalo, 4 o'clock. But I know, Dan, when you get... You know, any references to Mike and the Bulldog, Shope, and people are coming like, what? There's a, what a ripoff.
What a knockoff, right.
Yeah, how right. Original.
Right.
But I appreciate that you'll still say it.
Well, I have stayed away from that for a while. I've taken the high road, but then I realized, you know what? Maybe we'll get some additional downstate listeners that are intrigued by that concept.
Yes.
And say, hey, Mike and the Bulldog sounds like something we'd like.
Yeah.
Oh, we're back.
You're helping us, Dan. We appreciate the lift. Yeah. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe consider going with Mike and the Dog even. No one's ever called me that, but like that could, maybe that would even help more.
Peter King called you that.
Oh, that's right. Dog. Yeah.
Shope and the Dog. Well, if you can sort of rope in for our audience any of your fans who are thinking maybe there's a big FAN reunion happening right now, we're grateful. So good. How is life with the Jets? What was Sunday for you? It's a loss. It's a long time ago, but I actually thought of like Kelly's debut here where the Bills lost to the Jets as it happens, but you know, you probably left that game going, all right, this is still good. Like, we've maybe got something here. That might be a lot to say about Justin Fields and this new era, if you will, with the Jets, but it was promising in some respects.
Yeah, it was a great game. I mean, there's no question about it. You guys saw a great game up by you. This was another great game. It really was a great football game. and the Jets came up on the short end. You know, they could have been a situation. I know the kicker nailed a 60-yard field goal to end the game. It probably should have been a shorter field goal because it was probably a PI on the previous play on a deep pass to Austin. So that's another thing. And I almost felt like, I mean, I can't read the minds of officials, but these officials are human beings. And I'm looking at that official through my binoculars and thinking, I don't think that official wants to do that to the Jets fans, throws that flag. I'm telling you, I can't prove it. And these officials have a lot of integrity. But I do think sometimes there are heartstring calls or lack of calls. I don't know if you guys would agree with that. I know it sounds very conspiratorial, but just getting into the fact that, yeah, he did nail a 60-yard field goal, Boswell, but it probably should have been a 35 or 40-yard field goal because it was probably a PI on the previous play.
Dan, I won't venture into heartstrings, but I do think we have evidence over the years in all sports that if you're A, the home team, and B, losing, you'll get calls. Like, I think you'll get the benefit of the doubt on a few plays. So that might have been what happened there. I'm not sure it had anything to do with the fact that the Jets haven't been in the playoffs in 14 years or 15 years. But I think it might be just sort of like there was a call in the Bills game when the Bills were down by 2 touchdowns. I'm like, I've been watching football all day. This call happens, is made now because the home team is losing, and you know, we can make that call now. I think there's a lot. If you want to get into this, I'm here for it. The league is they want it to be so streamlined. We've got the space ref, we've got this real sort of attention on how long games are and how many flags are thrown that the league, I think maybe it's worse in the league's eyes to have a long game with lots of flags that maybe we wouldn't argue about any of the calls than a game where it sort of moves faster and we will argue about a couple, but we don't have announcers complaining about that this game is over 3.5 hours.
Yeah, so there's always going to be a human element. So we always hear the talk in the offseason, make the officials full-time employees. That would help them in terms of doing their job better. It wouldn't help. They're still human beings, and they're still going to make mistakes. They're still going to have some emotions. It is what it is.
How tough was it to listen to Aaron Rodgers talk about how meaningful it was to him to stick it to the Jets on Sunday, Dan, after everything that went down in New York?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know what you guys thought of how the meeting was handled, the final meeting between Aaron Glenn and Aaron Rodgers, where the new Jets coach told them they were moving on. We all know what Rodgers said on the Pat McAfee show about that meeting. He was very upset about how brief it was. He said he flew cross-country, and then the meeting was 10, 15 minutes, and we're moving on. He didn't like how that meeting was handled, and it was still sticking in his craw when the Jets faced the Steelers on Sunday, and then they beat the Steelers. The Steelers beat the Jets, and he was more than willing to go down that road. And it was a question from Brian Costello from the New York Post about, you know, all that stuff. I don't know if it would have elicited the same response if it was from a Pittsburgh reporter, but when Brian walked in the room, you could see a little look in Aaron's eyes like, I got the guy in here right now who's going to ask me the question that I want to go off on. So I don't know what you guys think. I know Aaron Rodgers does not have a lot of friends in the media. But do you think Aaron Glenn handled that? Whatever you think of Rodgers, if you're going to move on from a player, should you give him the bum's rush like that in the final meeting?
I think objectively it's fair to say that Aaron Glenn went out of his way to embarrass him. If it went down the way Rodgers says. Really, whether you were upset about it or not depends on what you think of Rodgers. I don't happen to be a fan of how he's handled himself really since before he left Green Bay. So I like any time that he's going to get humbled or embarrassed, but objectively, I think Glenn did him a little dirty.
Yeah, so I think if there might have been a little extra motivation, but the amazing thing about that game is the fact that the Jets' pass rush was excellent. Now, if you just looked at the final score and you looked at Rodgers' stats, nearly a perfect quarterback rating and 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, and you'd say, wow, he really lit them up. And I guess he did in a way, but they were on him all game. And that's an angle that I wrote about today for my website about They can't expect that to happen this week against the Bills. The Steelers' offensive line is a mess right now. The first-round left tackle, Broderick Jones, out of Ohio State, had a terrible game. I don't want to go too far with that because Will McDonald, the edge over there, had a good game. So it's a little bit of both. But Broderick Jones was really struggling, and Rodgers took a terrible beating. It's one of those games where he's thinking to himself, this is definitely it this year. I don't know how much more of this I can go through. Right. The right tackle wasn't much better. So if you have a game where you hit the quarterback all day, you're sacking him, you're hitting him, quarterback pressure is galore, and he still throws four touchdowns, you have a little bit of a problem in terms of your back seven. And that takes me to this game. The Bills' offensive line is a lot better than the Pittsburgh Steelers is. And you have a quarterback who's going to extend plays longer than Rodgers. So I think that big plus for the Jets last week in terms of their pass rush, I'm not sure it's going to be as good this week. And what is Mr. Allen going to do against the back seven that missed so many assignments against Rodgers in week one? That's something to keep an eye on.
Well, that'll be interesting because the Bills always, and Josh Allen himself, have not always had great days there. Week two, Bills at Jets. Dan Leberfeld, our guest on the Wester Hotline. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Dan's at Jets Whispers on Twitter, JetsConfidential.com. Well, staying with the Jets, before we get too much into this particular matchup, Dan, did Sunday in the end change anything for you in terms of expectations, whether that's, you know, you're talking about the D-line, the trenches, even Fields? What was a good goal for the Jets this year, and is that different a week later?
Well, I'll break that down a little bit in a few different ways. At the quarterback position, I still think we need to sit back and wait a little bit. Week one, I'm not taking anything away from Fields, but week one you should have the mother of all game plans. You'll have all the bells and whistles. The two words I heard the most last week from players and coaches, not just with the Jets, but watching stuff around the league, was unscouted looks. I don't know if you guys heard that term a lot last week, meaning in week one, you get a lot of unscouted looks. It's a three-month game plan. From the time the schedule comes out to the game, you have the most time by far to prepare for that game compared to any other game. So, once again, not taking anything away from Fields, but it was a perfect game for Fields to shine. First of all, the Steelers are slow at corner. That's going to be another problem for them. But also, with all he can do, with his great arm, with his world-class speed. And here's the other thing about this guy. He's like Josh Allen. He's a big guy. I'm talking about physically like Josh Allen. This guy's 6'3", 230. So he's not only got a great arm and he's fast running away from people, he is big. He breaks tackles. So he's kind of got that going on. So week one, you do all the different bells and whistles and nuances that you could do in week one. And I think the challenge is in the weeks that follow, with the teams like Buffalo this week now having film on the player, with the New York Jets, with this OC, the challenge could become more significant. But they were improved in some areas. There's no doubt about it. Their run defense in week one was a heck of a lot better than last year, and their running game was outstanding. So they can run the football, and they can stop the run. Obviously, two very important things in the NFL.
I saw some very positive reviews of the play of the two tackles. Last year's first-round pick, Fashino, and then this year's first-round pick, Membo. That looks like a pretty solid pairing moving forward. Fashino's not new news. I think he had a pretty solid rookie season. You can tell me if that's a miss on my end here. But pairing him with another new guy, it looks like they might have bookends in place.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way. I was just talking to someone in the press room, and I don't subscribe to Pro Football Focus. Nothing against it. I just don't subscribe to it. They said, according to Pro Football Focus, that Membo is the highest-rated lineman in the league, regardless of position. To come out of the gate and do something like that against T.J. Watt. Now, T.J. Watt moves around a lot, but still, T.J. Watt is over there a lot. A remarkable opening day for Membo. You know, he wasn't as much a slam dunk prospect as Fashino on the other side. Fashino, everyone knew, was a top 10, top 12 pick, who had a great career at Penn State. This guy, Membo, was a second team all conference in the SEC last year. And when he reached out to the advisory board in the NFL office.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where players ask, what round, I'm a junior, what round might I go in? They said second to third. So he and his family had to think about it. He entered the draft, and then he killed the combine. I mean, 4.9 140, vertical leap. His workout was so sensational, that springboarded him into the top 10. And he played really well. Fashion is really good. And the devastating injury where they lost Barrett Tucker, the guard, right before the season, I don't think they're going to be as devastated by that as people thought out of the gate. Mm-hmm. He is a great player. But let me tell you something about Joe Tippmann. Joe Tippmann, the guard now, the former center for the Jets, he had issues with shotgun snaps last summer, this summer, last season, on and off. You take that off his plate where he had the yips a little bit with the shotgun snaps. Now we can just fire off the ball at 6'6", 320 athletic. The center is huge, Josh Myers out of Ohio State. They've got a really good offensive line. I think Tippmann could be a better guard than center because I'm telling you right now, that shotgun snapping was weighing on his mind. So very, very positive opening day for the Jets O-line, and that should be one of the strengths of their team.
Dan, break Fields' performance down for us, if you would, a little bit more. I think most fans who haven't watched him or even those who have think you sort of hear the same things all the time. Slow processor. You know, maybe you want to just get him, of course, you want to get him into passing situations. As a runner, he can be electric. What Sunday, if anything, was different about that? Bulldog maybe saw more of it. I saw some of this game, and every time I looked in it, I was really impressed with Fields, mm-hmm. until the last play, where maybe that's sort of like a experience thing, where you'd want him to just run there rather than throw, you know, Garrett Wilson to the wolves like that. What did you think, and what might be right or wrong about the sort of the assumptions being made about him?
Yeah, it was definitely a very strong debut, and somebody was asking Aaron Glenn today and then actually asked Justin Fields, is it hard to – what do you do for an encore after a first game like that? Yeah. It's really true. Like, the bar is so high right now that I don't think you can expect him to do that every Sunday. I think when you look at it, I think the first-time NFL offensive coordinator, Engstrand, who's calling the plays for the Jets, called a really good game. I think when you look at the Jets' pass protection, it was excellent, so he had a lot of time to throw. And Garrett Wilson, you know, with time to find holes in the secondary, or in this case, run away from corners. And that was something I mentioned before. The Steelers, Joey Porter Jr., or the second, I'm sorry, I don't know the end of his name, but the son of Joey Porter, he's a good player, but he's not particularly fast. Same with Slay, who came over for the Eagles, not a fast corner. So he was running away from those guys. And Jalen Ramsey obviously lit him up on that last play, but Jalen Ramsey not the fastest corner either. So they couldn't run with him, and he was finding him a lot. The running game was incredible. And if you're going to have success with this quarterback, you need a running game. I'm not just talking about him running. You need a strong mm-hmm. running game. And Breece Hall and company were really strong out of the gate because this guy needs the play action opportunities. He needs the bootlegs. Obviously, a lot of read option, a lot of RPOs. So all that was going on Sunday. It was a perfect storm week one, so you can pull a lot of surprises out. A team that is not strong at corner. Ramsey's good, don't get me wrong. They're strong with Ramsey, but there's not a lot of speed back there, so they were having issues with the Jets' speed at receiver. And then you look at the fact that the Jets' running game was great. It was all a perfect storm, but let's see what he does over the course of the first month. As Bill Parcells would say, let's not put him in Canton just yet, fellas. Mm.
On the defensive side of the ball, a lot of familiar names. One new face to the Jets anyway, but not a new name or face to us, is Harrison Phillips, who was a late summer add in a trade. But the rest of the starting lineup, I mean, there's just names we've been seeing for a few years now. And this is a unit that's had decent success against the Bills and Josh Allen.
Yeah, and it is a new system under Aaron Glenn and Steve Wilks, but it's a very similar philosophical approach to what Robert Saleh was doing. So it's not that different. So it could give Allen trouble, but if they don't clean some things up on the back end. Now, Sauce Gardner was excellent in his matchup with DK Metcalf, but he didn't have a lot of company in the excellent category, let's put it that way. There were just too many blown assignments and guys pointing at each other, who had who, was that your guy, and things like that. And you know Josh Allen is going to feast on something like that. The Jets linebackers need to do a heck of a lot better in coverage. That was a problem last year. We know they could stop the run with their two starting linebackers, but the pass coverage is hit or miss with them, and so this could be a big week for the tight ends of the Bills if they choose to dial up plays for those guys, because the Jets need improved play at linebacker in terms of pass coverage. They also need the corner opposite Sauce to play better. Brandon Stevens had a rough first game, the former Baltimore Raven. I don't totally blame him for it, because to me, I'm very big on you got to bring out the strengths in your players and you got to put them in position to succeed. And I'm not criticizing Aaron Glenn. I don't know whose decision it was, but having him cover Calvin Austin, Brandon Stevens is a 6'1", 215-pound corner who's a mauler at the line, not the twitchiest guy. Calvin Austin is a 5'8", 170-pound mighty might with unbelievable short area quickness and 4.3 speed. You can have a big corner on him all day and expect him to cut with him, and I'm just saying that that didn't go well. Calvin Austin, I don't know if you guys noticed, had a really good game opposite DK Metcalf. And the Buffalo Bills have a lot of those twitchy, change of direction, short area quickness kind of receivers. So that could be a problem for the Jets on Sunday, especially if they put Stevens on one of those guys. Stevens is a better matchup for a big physical receiver.
My, let me count real quick, Bulldog, 39 waivers bids on Calvin Austin would suggest, yes, I did notice that in this game, but very small amounts. Dan, before you go, you probably watched the Sunday night game. Can you see the Jets sort of like Jackson and Henry, if you will, a sort of a poor man's version of that? I mean, Hall is great. Can they have that in like a minute or so that we have left? Can they be successful with a similar sort of game plan against Buffalo, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah, they're going to run. They're going to do that this week. They did it last week. They're going to do it all season. And I've said this a lot about the Bills, and you guys know a lot more about them than I do. I love Sean McDermott. I love a lot of their defensive players. I love Milano. But there are games, obviously the Bills won, but when you face a big back and Milano and the linebacker next to him are about 225 pounds, really good players. But when you have a massive line like Baltimore or a massive line like the Jets and you have undersized linebackers, it's just a math equation problem. Sometimes it's going to be an issue in terms of being overpowered. So I think the Jets will run the ball very well on Sunday. I just don't know about them defending the back seven of the Jets defending Josh Allen and all those weapons. But I think they'll run the ball and they'll be successful at it.
Thanks as always, Dan. Great to talk to you again.
Okay, and I promise no more Mike and the Bulldog.
Please, no. Keep it coming.
I had a weak moment. It's not fair to you guys. You guys are icons in Buffalo. You don't need to be in the shadow of a team that's not even on together anymore.
What was the poll about the tougher media market, by the way, supposed to imply?
Yeah, what was the point of that?
No, that was a compliment to Buffalo. And I know we don't have a lot of time here. And I watch a lot of press conferences because I pull a lot of sound bites for my radio show on SiriusXM. And I hear the press conferences. I hear the questions from Buffalo. Buffalo is a tougher football media market than New York City now. It wasn't 20 years ago, but it is now. Watch some of Aaron Glenn's press conferences and get back to me.
Would you do me a favor, even if it's off to the side, if you would? I would like to ask you, have you asked Tyrod Taylor that question?
No, but I think, once again, this is more a recent development. Maybe, Tyrod doesn't do a lot of press conferences as a backup quarterback, but he might have an opinion based on his Giants.
No. Not, well, sure. I mean, he's been through it all. But when he, at one point when he was the Bills starter, he was on nationally and said how tough it was. And I just couldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah, it's very tough.
I couldn't believe it.
The New York, I say New York City because you guys are in New York, and I'm not even in New York as I sit here right now in New Jersey. The point being that, yes, this once was a tougher market, but it isn't anymore in 2025. That was my point. Because I'm telling you right now, the other thing is, to Aaron Glenn's credit, he does have the New York media very intimidated. Check out one of his press conferences one day.
Well, if you're able to talk to Tyrod off to the side one day, I would love to know what he would say to this present day. Anyway, thank you, Dan. Always a pleasure.
Always fun, guys. Talk to you soon.
I enjoy listening to you on the weekends, too, by the way. I caught you a couple of times recently with Vic Carucci on your national show. Dan Leberfeld at Jets Whispers. We got to get to a break, 803-0550 to talk Bills with us. Mike Shope and the Bulldogs, Sal at 5. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, two-point attempts haven't been great for us of late, so it's an area that we need to, again, another area early on here that, you know, we need to focus in on and figure out what we can do better. Is it execution? Is it design? What is it? Because those plays are important in terms of, you know, factoring into the overall score in the game.
That's one way to put it. Sean McDermott, the Bills 0-3, going for 2 on Sunday night. What were the plays? The third one is Coleman.
The fade to Coleman.
To tie it.
Yeah.
And that misses.
Yeah.
Matt Bowen, who I like on Twitter, used to play for the Bills, really good on breaking down what's happening in the secondary, said, great play by the Baltimore guy, Wiggins, on that play. He thought it was legal and fair.
He had his hand around the collar of Coleman's jersey and shoulder pads. Nope. I don't know.
Take that up with Matt.
So, you know, it's not something I thought to bring up, to gripe about, because it's the crap happens.
Anyway.
Right. And that crap happens both ways, I think, in games.
He thought it was a play where the DB had established himself as equal right to contact and the ball, I think.
I just didn't like that as a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, because, it's going to work sometimes. Coleman is good at that play. We saw him score a touchdown against Tariq Woolen in Seattle last year on that play. I'm not saying, eradicate it from the playbook, but, I mean, do you have better than a coin flip play for a two-point conversion? It would be my question. It's just not an automatic to me. A jump ball, a 50-50 ball, I don't know, that is what it is. So I do I have something that has better odds is what I often think. Maybe if the throw is placed a little differently, maybe it's a different outcome. I don't know.
Well, the first one, they had three.
Yeah, I don't remember the other ones that well.
The first one is Coleman is behind the end zone.
Oh, when he gets put, he's out and then comes back in, and then that didn't count.
And yeah. He caught it, but they didn't count it.
That was like that was a broken play, is what that turned into. I think what they wanted there, I think I saw this on a film breakdown I was watching yesterday. That they have Elijah Moore doing like this sort of orbit motion in the backfield, and then Ty Johnson goes out left, and a deep Marlon Humphrey, it was for Baltimore, just sat on Johnson. Like he just met him right at the edge there, and so it was gone. And from there, I think that was the play. That was what they wanted. The design was they'll fall for this motion will throw them off, and Johnson's going to spring open. He didn't. Allen sees that immediately and just starts moving around trying to improvise, and that's how they ended up with the try to Coleman in the back after he'd been out of the end zone. So the design of the play was something we've seen them use. It didn't work. Baltimore blew it up.
By the way, this one also was they had kicked it, and there was a Ravens penalty. So they went from the 2 to the 1.
Right.
And then that happened. All the more reason. The middle one is the interception. Allen throws the end zone. First drive of the fourth quarter, and Hamilton intercepts. Laterals to Van Noy, who smartly comes out and then takes a knee.
Yeah.
He's really smart. None of these, if I'm getting this right, was Allen running, even from the one.
Yeah.
Which, why would that ever not be your number one, A1 choice? You've got a third 2-point conversion in the game. The touchdown that preceded it was an Allen run. And, like, this is a little bit too smart for the room, I think, these 2-point plays. You know, here's McDermott telling us how they matter in the scoreboard. You know, thanks. But 0-for-3 on 2-pointers, and none of them is a running play? One's from the 1-yard line?
I wonder how much their struggles with the sneak play. I'm reluctant to call it the tush push, but going back, I mean, they had a tough time with that in their last loss in the playoffs against Kansas City, obviously, in the title game. And it didn't go great on Sunday. So much so that when Allen scores eventually to, I forget which touchdown that was now. Was that
40, 38?
Okay. He just, you know, he does the, you know, jumps over and just stuffs the ball over the goal line thing. He's not even trying to plow in there. It's just, I don't want to say he gave up on that, but he pivoted to jumping over and getting it in that way rather than just forcing their way in physically. So that's something to keep an eye on. I mean, that has been an almost automatic play for them that their hit rate on that over the last two games they've played is pretty bad.
Yeah.
So that's a play that they, I think, count on. And it's something that I think helps make McDermott as comfortable as he is going for it on fourth and short. And if that gets, you know, somehow taken away, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just a bad stretch, but they're not as effective. The two games in a row, they haven't been as effective with that play. Period.
Sunday at the Jets, Bills in white jerseys, blue pants for this game. At least it's not all blue. The worst uniform in sports.
Do not like all blue.
It's I've seen it recently called a unitard, and I can't stop calling it that in my mind. Just, you know, that's a softball uniform. So white and blue.
White tops, blue pants. I like
lots of all white in the league on Sunday, and that's fine. Yeah, yeah. I think that's fine. At least that's a baseball uniform.
The Bills,
not a softball
the Bills
uniform.
All white is by far my favorite combination. Next might be blue with white pants, blue top, white pants. They're wearing the inverse of that on Sunday, and I'm not nuts about that look. I like it better than all blue. All blue is the bottom, just the worst.
White and blue is OJ,
right
for me, which I like actually. So there. I mean, some, I think, probably on the chat are talking about this, and I feel like it's probably important to address it. Only one drink.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Just water.
Do you still have that half a sandwich you wanted to trade me yesterday?
From yesterday, yeah. I brought that back out.
It's still there. Yeah.
In case this comes up. I forgot. I always forget to take it home. No vending machine drink. The coffee, it's enough.
Good job refrigerating that.
Thanks. Here's why. So once or sometimes even twice a week, the vending machine does not work.
Oh, really?
Today it was, you know, you sort of, you don't even swipe it. You sort of like, the credit card.
Tap.
And it's like, tap.
Tap.
Tap. And then nothing.
Hmm.
But today, money came out.
Really? There's a bank. The vending machine's turned into a bank.
Vend NT Bank.
I'm gonna get out there. I'm gonna go see if I can get some money out of the vending machine.
$2.25.
I'm down some change in my truck. My truck got ransacked overnight, so I left my truck open like an idiot, and I live in a neighborhood where people comb the neighborhood looking for idiots who leave their cars open, and I left mine open, and I had some coins taken. Really, right. That's all they took was coins.
Dark turn.
Yeah. Anyway, so I could use a replenish. Is all I'm saying.
Well, before you get too excited, you tap the card, no drink, no nothing, but $2.25 came out. Here it is.
All right.
I mean, there's nothing to do but take it. Somebody's owed this money.
Yeah.
And what do you do immediately after that?
Put it in the machine to see if the coin thing works.
You scan again.
Okay, I gotcha. It's,
in my mind, it was, if I do this infinity number of times, $2.25 will come out every time. Like, there's maybe a limit to it, but is this going to be a new source of income for me? Is if I tap the credit card, I don't need the drink. I got water. I'm good. I don't even really need the vitamin water. I've just got whatever that is. It's just sugar, right? So I've got the $2.25 comes out, and I'm like, oh, I got to try this again.
Like $2.25 is like
it's good.
That's a jackpot at a vending machine to get $2.20. I thought you were going to have like a couple of dimes.
Way better.
$2.25.
I've never had one of these gold.
That's a gas station cup of coffee right there. Is what that is.
These are a dollar, right? It says $1. I've never had the gold. Quarters.
Oh, those! I haven't seen those in ages.
Oh,
wow!
Well, they're all in the machine. No, they're not Sacagawea though. One is George Washington, one is Lincoln.
I don't know what's going on with that.
But I think they're $1 each.
Does it not say?
It does say.
Okay, you can't.
It says
read
$1.
It
does say.
Oh, all right.
I think what I meant by I think is I know. So
why the confusion?
I just decided to keep standing there and trying again and again, and nothing else happened.
I can't wait.
I'm going
to
It's a race.
I can't wait to get to the next break.
It's a race.
Although I don't know.
Mike Shope with the Bulldog. It's a race to the vending machine to see if more. I mean, what's good? If it spat out $2.25 every time, how long would you stand there? All night?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. We got security cameras.
What is the grievance? I'm not doing anything.
I mean, you're taking the money that is clearly not yours.
It is yours. If the vending machine you're working with gives you money, that's your money. I mean, maybe it's, you know, Joe Beamer's or something, but it's not. He's not there.
Well, that's why
I don't know whose it is.
If you didn't put it in, it's not yours.
Whose is it?
I think if you were to stand there doing that for hours enough to get like $80 or something, the vending machine company would have a beef with you.
Yes. How about it works at one time?
Well, that's something to take up with them.
It feels like the time I won.
We should talk to the manager.
Patriots-Panthers Super Bowl when the sports book had a mistake and a typo. And Brad and I just crushed it on like over one catch, Musin Muhammad or something like that. And like, well, whose money is it? Maybe it's Brayton's. I don't know. Maybe it's Zach's money. Maybe it's your son's. That changes it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right now, for now, this is my $2.25. Yeah, yeah. What a day I'm having. I'm going out for steak league. I'm eating for free because I won the steak or top three in the steak league. I've already got. Well, I'm not going to say tip money because it's $2.25.
You got parking meter money.
That's not tip money at Anderson's.
We don't do that anymore either. The parking meters, that's not a thing.
Okay,
really, it's all about the card.
Maybe it's Sal's money. I'm totally keeping it if it sells. I'm totally keeping the.
I'm not saying you shouldn't keep it. I'm just saying if you stood there and tried to get like a big amount of money out of there, then that would be wrong.
All right, Sal at 5, Trista at 6. We'll look for your calls after this break. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.